worship service this morning, wherever you may be, from this beautiful small community in our sanctuary to your heart and home, we send love and gratitude for your presence this morning. Just an announcement as we begin our service. Immediately following this service, we will go into our Board of Directors community meeting where we will be voting on our Board of Directors and hearing updates from the Board President about reopening plans and phases, and a report from the treasurer regarding the church finances. You won't need to do anything to attend this meeting other than just stay on after the benediction, and instructions will be given at that time in terms of how you can ask a question. We do have a centering prayer retreat, a one-day centering prayer retreat coming up. Was it yesterday? I've now got myself into trouble. This is the problem with four-wheel drive. It lets you get stuck in more remote locations. I think it's either yesterday, which doesn't apply, or if it's next Saturday, do check the website. And we are offering multiple centering prayer retreats on Zoom, which are so meaningful, and you can just check the website to find out when the next one is. Today we continue in our sermon series on the joys of life, and last week we looked at the joy of remembering, and today we'll be looking at the joy of wishing. And the power of wish and how wish has manifested this very community. So whatever it is that is occurring in your life today, let's take a moment now in the silence to wish that this service would be a blessing to each of us, would uplift us, hold us during the storms of life, and guide us into the future, that we would, as it were, be drawn by our wishes into the future. For us and for this world, we pray. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come. Holy Spirit, come. Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Good morning. Please join me in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And we're just going to have a snippet of our verse this week, just the first part. If you'll be my echo, oh, send out thy light.
Oh, where is everybody? I don't even see the Zoomers. Well, I thought I was meeting Granny.
Oh, my heavens. Every time you say my name, I just pop in right like that. My heart is beating rather rapidly. It's a little alarming to be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden to be here. But how are you, my dear?
Oh, Granny, I forgot what big teeth you have.
Well, darling, don't worry about it. I'm not going to hurt you. You know that.
Well, I've been so afraid all morning.
Well, what is troubling you?
Well, I was collecting eggs in the farmyard, and, well, an acorn hit Chicken Little on the head, and she tweeted out that she got hit on the head and that the sky was falling, and then everyone started following her. Henny Penny and Ducky Lucky and Goosey Lucy, and it was just a disaster, and they ran off, and they wouldn't stop, and I was calling them.
Oh, heavens, they're playing right into the hands of the fox, no doubt. Well, dear, you mustn't let those things trouble you too overly much. Did you remember to go to your light portal?
No, I totally didn't think of that. Would that have helped?
Well, that's what we're creating it for. So when you're afraid, you can go into your inner portal of light, and you can sit there, and you can actually make a difference.
Well, I did work on my portal.
Tell me about it, dear.
Well, I walked around inside my interior castle, and then I found a staircase, and I went up, 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 up. And when I got to the top, I imagined that there was even a lighthouse on top of the top. And I went up, up, up a spiral staircase. And when I got to the top, there was a room full of light.
Lovely. And how are you turning on the light?
Well, I decided that I needed a big throttle. So I created a big throttle in my room of light. And when I want to turn on the light, all I have to do is move it forward. And light just bursts up everywhere. Is that the way I was supposed to do it?
Yes, darling. Now, today, we're going to do the next part, which is to create a dashboard.
A dashboard? That sounds like fun.
What you're going to do is create buttons for all the things that you want to send light to. Like, maybe there's a button for your little brother with his name on it.
Okay, I can do that.
And then you can have a button for your mom and dad, and a button for me, of course, your granny. You can have a button for the mayor of the village, for the king, the queen, and anything else that comes to mind. In fact, you might put the kings of all the kingdoms in a button so that they can all rule with wisdom and kindness and take care of their people and work together. And then there would be no war.
Wow, that sounds powerful. Do you think I can do all that?
Well, maybe not by yourself, but remember, you're going to have other lucky light workers working with you, and you're going to, when you're afraid, go to your portal, say your magic password, and put that throttle on full blast and send the light where it needs to go.
Oh, so I could send the light to Chicken Little and Goosey Lucy and all of them?
I think that's an excellent place to start.
Well, all right, Granny. I'll be working on that. And are you going to tell me what the promise is, the vow, for the lucky light workers?
Yes, dear. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right, repeat after me. The light of God in me,
the light of God in me,
blesses all I see.
Blesses all I see. The light of God in me blesses all I see. Well, what about the things I don't see? Because, like, I can't see the king, but I want to bless him.
Well, if you are blessing him with your imagination in your portal, you're seeing him now, aren't you?
I guess I am. So I could see anything and bless it.
That's right. That's the spirit.
Oh, good.
Well, there's something else. I've given you a certificate, a lucky light worker certificate. Would you like to have a peek?
Yes.
All right, it's there on the altar.
Ooh, Granny, this is cool. Do the other lucky light workers get one?
Why, of course they do. All they have to do is email the church and let them know, and we'll email them a certificate if they've taken the vow. The light of God in me blesses all I see.
The light of God in me blesses all I see.
You're going to see that the more people that join you, the stronger the light can be.
I believe it, Granny. Thank you.
Our first reading is taken from Carolyn Mice. We all make wishes. Wishes are fun. But if half the wishes we made really came true, we'd be in a big trouble, yes? I know I would. I mean, I've made some dark wishes in my day. So I have to conclude that making a wish, wishing upon a star, blowing out birthday candles, and all the other wish rituals that we have, lack a bit of genuine creative firepower. By real power, I mean creative current that creates that vital bridge of incarnation between a wisp of a thought and a kicking into gear of the laws of cause and effect. Magnetic attraction and all the rest that engage in the conversion of energy into matter. But wishing is a starting point. It is where we dialogue with the muses and wonder about what could be and what if and what's out there and what else that we could be doing. Wishing and wondering are like the two magical ingredients that stir our imagination. But it's our imagination that figures out how to make our dreams and wishes come true. Imagining requires effort and energy. And once you connect with a great idea, so to speak, you form an emotional and psychic bond with that thought form that is almost like the emotional bond you form with a personal relationship. It's intimate and alive. personal and nourishing to your inner senses. A dialogue begins between you and that seedling of original thought. Merging with a unique vision is the same as having an unfamiliar download of grace rush through your system. In an instant, it penetrates into your intellect, your emotions, your mind, and your vocabulary. Your archetypal dynamics adjust themselves to new symbolic content, even shifting your understanding of the cosmos if the idea is visionary in scope. You can feel the power of that idea, that vision, take hold of you as it runs through your blood like a new drug, making its way into your neurology. And then it is locked into your psyche. It's yours. The download is complete and you are on a high that is unexplainable to anyone who has never been swept away by the thrill of contact with the realm of original thought. This is a love affair unlike anything on earth, because it isn't of the earth, but it soon will be. And that becomes your task, and your vessel is your imagination. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Good morning, young people, and you young at heart, light workers. I'd like to talk a little bit more about what a light worker might look like. I think we're all light workers. Often, when we pray, what are we? Light workers. When we remember God, we're light workers. When we feel joy inside, despite the outside not being so joyful, light workers. Every weekday at 8 o'clock during our Zoom devotional, we say our morning prayers. And in those prayers, we say, let us meditate together on the highest divine light. We pray to divine light, Shekinah, enter from without into my heart and flow through my body, bringing the joy of your creating. We remember the light of God surrounds us. And finally, we ask, may all those thoughts from others that will in some way be encouraging to my own growth and unfoldment come through, and may all negative thoughts be transformed by the light, and a blessing go back to the sender. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? We heard about a light portal. Where is the place that you've been in this world that you feel most comfortable, most free to be who you are? Place that is safe? Maybe there's several places where you can go and just feel at peace. Whenever you confront any dark time in your life, you can bring that thought and be that light. A lot of my dark a lot of my light places happen at night. When does your light place happen? What will your light work be this week? We can begin right now by holding Kate Stevens in the healing light so that she knows health on all levels, and hold those others who also need that healing light in their lives together now. I'm in.
Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. And when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, help me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Wishing is a antidote to feeling down. And if you've ever seen someone wish at their birthday cake, you probably noticed that there was some degree of joy there and a quietness. I've never really told anyone what I wish when I blow up my birthday candles. It's a personal thing. Maybe you have, but wishing is a source of joy. And if you aren't feeling joy in your life, try wishing for something. And today we're going to talk a little bit about wishing and what that might be, the joy of wishing. We are talking about joy, the joys of life. And last week we talked about how remembering is a source of joy, and that the fact that as we remember our story, we're able to see the contrasts in our life or where we have grown from and how we're no longer that person, how we've evolved. And it's in the telling of our story and the seeing of ourself that we can actually experience a degree of joy. And not just to mention the joy of remembering certain joyful memories like the birth of a child or a grandchild. These are great sources of joy in the storehouse of our memories. There's not just bad memories, there's joyful memories. And the gift of living life and remembering one's life and seeing God's faithfulness and the open doors and the closed doors in the quietness of our heart as we remember that, as we reflect upon that, as we ruminate on our lives, chances are something akin to joy will move in your heart as you feel into the gift of your lifetime. And that is a very beautiful source of joy, the gift of remembering. That is kind of looking backward in time, and the gift of time, that we each have a timeline, and the gift of a past and a present and a future is our experience on this planet. And we shouldn't be too quick to throw that away by living in the ever-enchanting now. There is a place for remembering the now and not getting lost into the past and lost into the future. But there is a need to reclaim the gift of past, present, and future, to live in time fully, which means to know one's past. And that is truly a source of joy. To be human is to be in time and to have time in us. Well, looking to the past is a joy of remembering. What might be looking to the future? And wouldn't that be, in one sense, wishing? Isn't wish a way of picturing the future using your imagination, like a light worker, as it were, picturing through your mind something in the future that you wish for? Now, wishing is a little different than praying. I like to say that I wish for myself and I pray for others. And that needs and wants lead to wishes and prayers. And that wish is a little bit different than prayer, but related. And the notion that wish is one of the most powerful things in the world is something to feel into. And we'll talk about some stories in just a moment of how wishing unfolds in our lives and how important it is. But the work teaches us to be three-centered wishing people, to wish with all of our heart, mind, and strength and body, to wish with all of our centers. And so we can begin to recognize in our life the moments where we've only had a one-centered wish, and chances are that one-centered wish hasn't come to be, or maybe it's incomplete in its coming. But three-centered wishes change the universe, and not just our psychic universe and our satellite relations around us, but they literally change everything. These three-centered wishes are very, very powerful. To literally think the thought, to feel the feeling, and to sense it in our bodies as we are wishing. And this isn't just going to be theoretical. I'll touch in, hopefully, with what it is you're wishing for your own life. And we can hold in our hearts the fact that wish can carry us through the storm of life. Wish can carry us through the sicknesses and the deaths and the fears and the terrors of the night. Wish can carry us through the sense of being lostness, the sense of grief, the sense of shame, the sense of guilt. Wish carries us through if and only if we'll tap into its strength and name and claim what we wish for. We've talked about things in our community that our being draws our life. That's a beautiful work term that helps us recognize that if we want our future to be different, then perhaps we'll need to change something about ourselves. We cannot change and remain the same. We cannot pick up a board that we're standing on, is the image Maurice Nicol uses, and expect it to be picked up. We must get off of ourselves in order to pick it up, so to speak. And this is part of the work on ourselves, that as we work on ourselves, as we see ourselves as we are, we free ourselves to be something that we're not yet. And this also is a beautiful idea related to the teachings of this church, that the universe as we know it and our little cosmoses that we're in, our little lifetime cosmoses, our little family cosmoses, and all the satellites around us, is all response to request. Now, that's a really big responsibility that we each bear, if you can bear it, that our reality is a response to request. Now, we may not know what we're requesting because it's at an unconscious level, but oftentimes we do know exactly what we're requesting. And it's not always a positive thing. But what we hold in mind happens in kind is another beautiful unity teaching, New Thought teaching that comes right out of Lessons in Truth, that beautiful book that teaches us the practice of wishing by way of affirmations and denials. In many ways, affirmations and denials are the grammar of wishing. And if you want to learn how to wish, read that book, Lessons in Truth, because it teaches you the grammar of wishing, affirmations and denials. I am healthy, wealthy, wise, at peace, at ease, joyful, affirmations. Denials, nothing can make me sick. Nothing can make me afraid. Nothing can take my joy away. Those are denials. It's the grammar of wishing. And what we hold in mind happens in kind. These are beautiful principles that underpin the gift and joy of wishing. So if you find yourself stuck in a rut, if you find yourself like the disciples in the boat of life, rowing 10 hours going nowhere with the big wind against you, with no sense of presence or help around, with no connection with higher centers, absolutely in the dark night for 10 hours wondering where is help coming from, if that's the case, try wishing. And wishing will instantly connect you to a latent power that each of us have as children of God, created in the image of God, as co-creators. Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be health. Let there be a job. Let there be unexpected income. Let there be peace while the kids are at home and not at school, and you'd like to be somewhere else. Let there be. This is the gift of being a creator. And to use our words to wish for things. I want to focus in on three little specific areas where we tend to do a lot of wishing. And as a reminder, just to see that these are places where people oftentimes do their wishing, but one of them is in a place where we don't always think about wishing, and we need to think about wishing more often from that place. The first place is that when we are in times of trouble or need, we tend to do our wishing. And isn't it the case that when we hit bottom in life, that's when we start getting back to God, or we realize, well, I've made a mess of things, I need help. And it isn't until that we're in that trouble, when we're boxed in by life, by the storm of life, whatever it might be, that we start to realize, oh, I need to find a different way here. I need to change. And in those times of trouble or need, that's when we tend to make our wishes. Our wishes that come from that place of despair and emptiness and loneliness and brokenness and woundedness. And in those times of trouble and need, we start to make wishes. And we may not even know it's a wish, but it might be as simple as help. That's a wish. It's also a prayer. But these wishes can be in the form of words and ideas or even pictures. You picture in your mind a certain way of life that you want to have. I remember one time feeling down and depressed and in a difficult situation. An image came to me of a dinner overlooking an ocean, surrounded by vines that were blooming with friends and family and loved ones, and the joy that filled my heart, that one little image in the midst of my life storm, gave me a great sense of peace and joy and restored joy to my heart. Just a little bit in my dark hour. Now, Jesus doesn't come and calm every storm, so to speak. The Lord doesn't show up in every storm in a timely way. And that's a lesson for each of us, that that storm is for us. And we need to do our work in that storm because no one else can do it. And the Lord is far away, so to speak. And that's very important for us to realize, that we cannot subcontract our transformation in our desperation. We've got to wish in those moments of trouble. And perhaps that's exactly what the disciples were doing as they were facing this storm terrifying them. They thought they knew what they were doing. They had grown up their whole life fishing on this lake. But here they were going nowhere in the middle of a storm for 10 hours at night. And they were in despair. And then it was even worse because they thought they were seeing a ghost. And it's a beautiful image for us that we make wish when we're in times of trouble and need. And that's totally appropriate. And we're then invited to walk on the chaos of life by way of that wish. If you wish, if you command me, I'll come out and walk on the waters. If you will help me wish, I'll come out and walk on the waters and join you. Just will it. Call me, command me, and I'll do it. And that's the kind of power we get when we connect up with the higher center, with Master, when Master shows up, when real I shows up with it, when a C influence shows up by way of a B influence, and we're given that charge to the, yes, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'm going to make that wish. I will walk out on that water and walk on the chaos of life. And it's amazing what happens when you make a wish. You can literally walk on the chaos of life. And you're upheld by it. Now, not for the whole time, because what ends up happening is we get distracted, and where our consciousness is, our life is occurring. Where we place our consciousness, our life is occurring. So Peter is a beautiful model, that Marianne read, of someone who's got his attention on the wish and the means by which that wish is occurring, the Lord's command. And the second he loses contact with that wish and the Lord's presence, and he gets distracted by the wind and the waves, elements that he knows have killed people because of his experience on that sea, he looks at the facts and he loses his faith. And that's exactly what the problem with human beings are. We look at the facts and we forget faith. Well, we can't be expected to always be in faith. We can't be expected to not fall and falter. But the truth is that the less we're looking at the facts of life and the more we're connected with the faith of life, well, then we'll walk on the chaos of waters of life. And I think that's the power of wishing, and wishing helps us do that. And that's one of the reasons why we need to learn and practice how to wish in the moments of our trouble and despair and need. What's in contrast to that? Well, we all know that when we're in times of trouble and need, we act out from our programs for happiness. And that looks the same for most human beings. We act out by going to numbing out. We act out by going to overacting and trying to compensate. We act out by running away and avoiding. And there are all sorts of ways in which we act out, but we turn to things that numb us. In particular, this is very prevalent in our culture today. And it is very easy to want to escape the storm of life and the chaos of our culture and numb out and chill out from it. And that may or may not work. It certainly isn't a long-term solution. But I'm thinking of those things that are so easy for adults to get access to. And to use those things in our lives to numb us from actually feeling the despair and the terror of the situation. Mr. Gurdjieff said, "I am here only for the desperate." And when we're desperate, do we turn to Mr. Gurdjieff or do we turn to Mr. Martini? Do we turn to all the sensuous things that can allure us on our screens, including the wonderful binge opportunities that we have? Or do we turn to Mr. Nickel? Do we turn to food and drink and movies and culture? Do we turn to anger and violence and meanness to our beloveds to manage our sense of frustration with the trouble and the need we might be in? And one of the most famous and popular of pastimes is wasting tons of energy thinking about, talking about, some people even dreaming about, certain political figures and events. That's like puncturing your lung and trying to breathe. That's like puncturing your gas tank and trying to take a trip. That's what that does. Good luck with it. And this is why we have to wish for something in the midst of the storms of life. Wish for something from above that will carry us on the chaos and not sink us into it. So, friends, I know there are a lot of people who are in trouble and despair and difficulty right now, and maybe you're not telling anyone. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're afraid. But this is crazy times, so feel it. And let your heart be known, and let your cries be known, if not to God, then to a friend, a work partner, your minister. That might be a nice thing to do. A second thing is that we tend to wish when we're in times of doubt. And Jesus says this really interesting thing to Peter, which is a reminder that it's easy for even those who are intimate with the Lord, even those who have been work students for a long time, even those who are far along in the spiritual journey, to fall into seasons of doubt. And literally that word doubt means, why are you double-legged? Why are you standing in two different places at the same time? And imagine just an earthquake happening with one foot on one side of the continent and another foot on the other, and that continent splitting you in half. Why are you double-standing? You cannot support yourself unless you stand vertical and strong on 2 feet in the same place. And this is very important for all of us because it speaks to the power of our spiritual practice. Because the power of our spiritual practice isn't making us gurus or gods, it's making us servants of the Master from above. It's one way when we stand in place long enough to do our 20-minute sits twice a day, when we stand in place long enough to do those commentary readings, when we stand in place long enough to sit for scriptorium or a service like this, it empowers us and connects us, and it cures that sense of doubt. And wish then becomes a way in which we can move through that doubt. And wish for me is symbolized by the Lord reaching out his hand to Peter and Peter reaching out his hand to the Lord. That's wish right there. I wish to be saved. Help! Save me, he says. I wish for something different than this double-mindedness that's sinking me at this moment, because I've been distracted by the storm and have forgotten your presence right here, right now. Well, this is a part of Peter's journey that he's becoming tempered by his impulsiveness and his eagerness, his zealousness to act out from one center, his moving center perhaps, or certainly his emotional center. Yes, I'll do it. But then he doesn't count the cost. His wish withers and can't bear its fruit. I'll never deny you, Lord. And he does 3 times soon thereafter. His wish withers because of doubt. Well, should I tell him I know the Lord? Or that get me killed too? And so wishes are weak oftentimes because of the power of doubt in our lives. So wish counteracts that doubt, and we've got to return to that wish over and over again, especially when evidence is totally to the contrary. When the bank account says $1, when the diagnosis says this, that's the moment where you don't give in to doubt, but you keep holding on to that wish and let that wish hold on to you. Now, this isn't magic. Life is going to kill us. We're here to die. This is a part of the process, this dying and defeating. But it's a wish that we have to live through that life to its fullest and then surrender our life, not a day or second sooner than our destiny is calling us to. So that means we're required not to give up, not to give in to the negativity, not to give it in to the banality of the culture and the news and the difficulties that we live in and the distractions and the lusts and the greed and the power and all of it in this world. Don't believe it, but hold on to your wish for the heavens and the earth to be recreated in your moment, in your life, and in your home, and your family. And join with me in that wish, because it's the only way that keeps me sane, truthfully, is that that hope keeps calling me forward, that hope, which is another way of talking about wish. And lastly, I want to talk about something that we normally forget about, and that is to make wishes in times of peace and balance. Nearly 40 years ago, a beautiful man who was broken by life, who was redeemed by the Lord, who was sinking into alcoholism and womanizing and the pursuit of money and power and pleasure, was sinking, and he reached out to above and cried out for help, and help came to him and lifted him up. Help came through books, help came through people, help came through prayer. And a few years later, that man found himself under the stars in the New Mexico night at a glorious spiritual community of old called Lama. And underneath those stars, that man named Tim Cook made a wish for spiritual community that was real and enduring and loving and conscious and awake and true and hopeful and joyful and centered and grounded. And long before Tim was a minister, and long before this church existed in Austin, Texas, a wish went from a broken but healed man by the grace of God straight up to heaven from his three centers and blasted out into the universe, and time caught up with space. And soon enough, the Church of Conscious Harmony was born in a home in Austin, Texas. And here we are. The power of one man's conscious, three-centered, if not more than three-centered wish, and what it manifested. And that's not just an example to bow down to, that's an example to replicate. The principle of wishing and the joy that it brings, the joy that it brought Tim in that moment, the joy that it has brought us in the manifestation of that wish, is something else. There was a young man who came to visit me when I was a pastor in my first couple years of being a pastor in Flint, Michigan. And he showed up early in the morning without an appointment, and he was a mess. And he was crying, disheveled, and clearly tortured in his soul. And he could barely get to my office before weeping and breaking down. I didn't know this young man. But he went on to tell me slowly what had happened the night before. He had experienced a terrible turn of events where he was sexually traumatized and then was almost killed. And he escaped naked. And he came to the church, the one place he thought he would be safe. And he was in utter despair. And I didn't know what to do. I had never been trained for such a thing. But all I could do was to listen with him. And I looked at him. And I said something that I didn't prepare. I don't know where it came from. But I said something along these lines. I said, "Would you trust me now if we both closed our eyes?" And he did. And I said, "Now with your eyes closed, I want you to picture yourself a year from now. Who do you want to be?" And he started to cry. He couldn't verbalize what he wanted to be. But he was so encouraged by that, because it lifted him out just for a moment of that moment of misery and what he had done and allowed himself to do and experience. And we closed with a prayer, and he was gone. That young man came back to visit me not a year later, not 2 years later, not 3 years later, 5 years later. And he was a father of a young child, was married to a beautiful young woman, had a great job working at the Buick plant in town, and he had light in his eyes. And he came back to thank me for helping him realize that his history wasn't his destiny. In our times of need and despair, we should wish, even if we don't know how to do it. And in our times of doubt, we should wish, even if we don't know how to do it. And more than ever, we should wish when we're centered and at peace, and when all is well. That's when we should wish, not only for ourselves, but for all sentient beings on this planet. We should make the biggest wishes of all when we're balanced and centered and at peace. Just to conclude with a couple other thoughts and quotes to leave you with. There is such a thing as negative wishes. They're called curses. There is such a thing of being cursed. You'd want to know that and do spiritual exploration with someone who can help. There is such a thing as knowing that you're magnetized in a negative way, and that being, it keeps drawing that negative thing. There is a remedy for such things. In the spiritual community, it's called exorcism. It's not to say that one is possessed, but there's a reality of severing the negative emotions, severing the curses that others have placed on us and that we've placed on ourselves. A way of thinking about this is the sins of the fathers that come down generation to generation. So sometimes our wishes hit the ceiling because there's a curse holding us back to the ground. And we've got to break those curses, those unspoken bonds from our lineage of bloodlines. I don't want to get too spooky or woohoo, but the reality is we do live in an energetic world, and there are negative and positive energies. And so I can't just say, you know, this wonderful sunshine power of wishing without also addressing the power of curses on our lives. But I will speak a word of truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, be freed from that curse. The name above all other names is another way of saying the energy above all other energies. And that's not saying that we're the one and only way. What that's saying is that the highest energy was revealed in this planet. And there's no shame in saying that the highest energy was revealed through a person named Jesus. There's no shame in that. No one else claims to that. The Buddha just said he was awake. Avatars and gurus, they wake up. They don't claim to be the fullness of God. They certainly don't always claim to be the fullness of human at the same time. They might be fully God, but they may not be fully human. What we've got in Christianity is a revelation of the highest energy into the fullest of humanity. And that name is powerful. Very powerful. And if that's too much for you, if it's too much religious baggage for you, I get that. Then try this. In the name of the holy power of love, I release you, curse, from my life. You are no longer needed. I release you, curse, in the name of love, in the name of divine love. I am free this second. See, this is what it means to be a light worker, to use our wishes and our words to set ourselves free from the storms of life and to walk on the chaos of life. So let me just ask you to just close your eyes now, if you trust me. And close your eyes and do your own inner light work. and ask yourself the question, who do you wish to be a year from right now? And let us ask ourselves as a community a question. As beings on this planet, who do we wish to be as a species a year from this day? More loving, more awake, more peaceful, more healthy, more just and equitable, more righteous, more joyful. In the name of Jesus Christ, may these wishes come to be, and may all of us experience the freedom from the past and be drawn into the destiny, the fullness of our destiny to come. Amen.
I want to step into some deep time. Take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments, deep time. The sun is warm on my shoulder. On this morning, bright and clear, there's no past to regret, no future to fear. I want to step into some deep time, take a break from the stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time. I want to hear time breathe. Alive like me and you. Seeking lovers to conceive. Moments wholeness and stopwatch grind. Living on the clock can rob me blind. Precious moments in deep time. I want to step into some deep time.
Let us now rest for 10 minutes in the silence of centering prayer, a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, into your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that each of our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and beautiful name. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Thank you, each of us, for being present in this community today. To be together like this is such a grace. And I wish for you the most sacred of Sundays, and I wish a year from today to see you face to face. And I wish that you stick around for our community meeting. The board will be gathering in just a moment, and we'll begin, I would say, within at least 10 minutes. So just stay in this room. Keep your computer screen on, and we'll be back shortly. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace and power and presence of the Holy Spirit is filling our hearts with joy. Amen.